Consider This Podcasting presents What's Next, Episode 6. Do you feel lucky, Ted?
Welcome to What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Eliza, and I'm just the narrator. Really, I'm not listening to everything you're saying. So sit back, relax, and try not to think about me. And now here are your hosts, Doug and Karen.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thanks for joining us for this episode of What's Next, a podcast about the Fox TV series Next. I'm Doug Payton, and I'm thinking I'm going to get one of my kids to change our smart bulbs next time.
And I'm Barb. Oh, I'm not Karen.
Oh.
I'm not AI either. I have a taser. These things are unbelievable. And I'm definitely investing in this company. Well, we'll be discussing season one, episode 7.
Wait. Is it Zoom number 32? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. Good guess.
No?
Not this time. Not you want to take time. Another try at that?
How about file number 7?
Yeah, you got it right now.
I'm still loving these ingenious titles. All righty.
I wonder how many files we still have to go.
Oh, well, we'll find out in the spoiler section if you want to listen to that. Oh, my goodness. We are published by Consider This Podcasting. Come on over to next.ctpodcasting.com for show notes and a place to do some discussing about the episode. And Barb, who do we have to blame for this?
Oh, that's a sad thing.
I'm sorry. I joke, you know.
Oh, they're probably not listening, right? Ouch. Okay, so the writer is Brian Savelson, and the director was Adam Arkin. The ratings, Doug? Now, that's sad.
Yeah.
And I looked in multiple places, but they all came out the same. The ratings were a 0.1 for one share. Viewers and millions. Well, we didn't crack a million. Wow. 860,000. And sadly, that was a brand low.
A series low. That's not the way to get started here.
No, see, and that's what happens when you bring in a replacement for Wonderful Karen. You get a new low.
Okay, that's the bad news. Let's do some of the good news, where we talk about the episode, which I think was pretty good this time. So here we go.
Now let's get to the episode discussion, so I can see how well I'm taking over the world.
Taking over the world indeed. Okay, as far as ratings, you people did not give any ratings to us. My goodness. But you know what? I have some ratings for you, and so does Barb. My rating is 8.5 cryptocurrency laundries. Yeah, well, you know, just to keep the money moving here. I liked it better than last week, I tell you that. I docked it a couple of points, a point and a half, we'll talk about that later. But otherwise, it was pretty good. What did you think, Barb?
Well, I actually liked this one pretty well. And I gave it 8 games of Russian roulette. Or do you think that might be Chinese roulette? Anyway, so who is the big bad here anyway?
Who knows? Who knows? They keep changing. Well, you know, Next is really like 3 steps ahead of everybody here. It is insane. Okay, we have some. Oh, Barb has really done the job of Karen this week. She's done a really good job with this, and that is to say that she has given us some story title names, the different A and B and C stories, etc. So let's hear what those are.
Well, the episode made it a little easy. So I think for the A story line here, we definitely have Ted Fox.
Well, of course he does. Not quite the interesting or informational kind of a TED Talk, no. Or inspirational, no.
Yeah, that would have been a little scary up on a stage having a spinning gun.
Yeah. There you go. What you going to talk about, buddy?
Yeah. Help. All right. And the B storyline is the China virus, brought to you by Next, but maybe not so fast. Oh, there's a C story title this week too.
Yes. And if you watched Lost, you'll like it.
All the best cowboys have daddy issues. Well, and brother issues, and uncle issues too, for that matter.
They're all over the place.
There are a lot of daddy issues in this show this week.
Like whom?
Okay, so Shay clearly has a daddy issue. And
yes,
sort of manifested itself this week.
Yeah, kind of really, really big in a big way, yes.
We learn that Ben has a daddy. And he and Daddy apparently have some daddy issues. We'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, the brother issues. Clearly, Ted and Paul have some issues. And they've had them all season. Probably all their life.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it, given some of the stories we've heard.
Yeah, I think so. And then we have, daddy issues again with Abby and Paul. And then we have uncle issues with Abby and Ted. So Abby has a lot of issues.
Abby just doesn't really relate to the previous generation.
Doesn't seem like it. Do you have anything else you'd like to throw out there?
I had one. I actually contributed to story titles this time. You know, I'm going to stand here very Shakespeareanly, you know, holding my hands up, looking up, and saying, "Et tu, Ben?"
Ooh.
Yeah. Or, you know, Brutus, Ben, whatever, you know. But, that was out from the parking lot of left field. That was, wow. We will get to that.
That was our big surprise. One of them.
Man alive. Okay, well, as we hit the storyline here, we had this congresswoman being interviewed, Helen Beatty. Or Beatty, or what's the guy's, Warren Beatty. So I guess it's just Beatty. But anyway, that was a whopper of a red herring.
And it didn't feel like that. It was, but it didn't feel like that to me when they were in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, well, wait a minute, who's next really after? Because, you know, we've seen so many of these types of things already.
Yeah, so there could be some, like, she does have some influence with, or has a promise that she made while she was running for office to deal with these certain issues that seemed like they related to AI and whatever. But when we find out when the reporter drops his notes and we find out something about an AI or a conspiracy, then it's like, I see who's here.
That was that was the hint in the elevator. It's like, no, he's the target. And not only that, but if the congresswoman had not been on any of those committees and had worked on any of that in the past year, then shouldn't our intrepid FBI agents have known that already?
Yeah, you would think if they were intrepid. But if their intrepidness was, you know, maybe it was distrepid. I don't know. Now you had some information about the guy who played that reporter.
Yeah, our reporter actually did have a name. The only time you could see it was on the card that he had handed off.
And his
that was
ID. Harrison. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But he was played by Carl Clemens Hopkins, and apparently he does a lot of theater work. And I think that he had tweeted out that next was a project that he was working on. But he's pretty heavy in the theater. Looks like he does a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah. You said he's in a lot of different productions, huh?
Yes. Don't ask me to rattle them off.
I will not. I would never do something like that.
She's very good at homework.
Hmm. So that it's interesting. Yeah. So we a whole lot of red herrings, a whole lot of, you know, fakes, head fakes by next in this episode. We'll get to some another one later. But I noticed that, well, first of all, that Paul breaking into Ted's place, or I guess, oh, he hacked the garage door.
Yeah. Don't you ever change your code? And I thought, I think I have some passwords I need to change.
Yeah. When you think about that, you watch the show and it's like, you know, I really do need to do that. Maybe get one of those password managers and keep track of all of this. But, So Ted's, you know, we're getting ready to head out. And also while Paul was there, the noise that the wife hears, and I can't remember her name was Deborah, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Deborah. She hears these noises, and it's Paul busting up all, like he did in his house, all the electronics with, you know, that could be spied on by Next or used for nefarious purposes. That's his thing. You know, don't, you were going to do some remodeling in this house. Bang, nail in this, screwdriver in that, you know. Yeah, now you're upgraded.
Okay, so that actually, to me, was one of the worst moments. Why would anyone in their right mind come down when they hear a bunch of crashing and banging around downstairs in the middle of the night? Why would you come downstairs instead of calling the police? Seriously.
Well, you know, it's a good thing she did. Otherwise, the plot would not have moved along. I'm so glad she did that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm good. It was good. It was good. It was good. Yeah. So we, and a lot of stuff. It's interesting how almost all of our people here somehow converged in the same parking garage. This is where Paul winds up or calls Ted to go see Deborah, and when Paul goes to get his car, there's Paul. Later on, after that whole, you know, that whole altercation, we have Shay showing up at the parking lot. It's like everybody knows where everybody is all of a sudden. But
how do they know it, though, without using AI, which means that Next would have busted them?
Something. And you can't, like in the parking garage, in most parking garages, I can't get GPS to save my life.
You can't get it. You can't even get a signal.
Yeah. So how did that all happen? I don't know, because how would Shay know where, you know, Ted's car is? Oh, she wouldn't. But one of my we get to the point here where we find out that Ted's in the trunk and Shay is just like, I know nothing. And she's this becoming the Sergeant Schultz of the show. She's somebody in a position of authority that just don't tell me. Don't tell me. Just let's do the thing. And then at one point, you know, Paul is talking about hearing all the banging in the back. Hey, don't make me come back there. That was, I like that. That was, that's a Paulism.
You know, one of the other things that was funny that I had actually forgotten about was when she pulled in and you see, Paul and he's talking to the trunk, right? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, oh, he's gone woohoo again, right? But he didn't. He was actually talking to his brother in the trunk.
Oh, that, yes, yes, yes. You don't see
that.
Yeah,
that was good. You know, you've always been wrong about this. It's not about you. Da, da, da. I thought, he's lost it again. But he hadn't.
Yes. Nope, it was real. It was actual. It was a classic. And they bring him to, and everything, you know, now happens in the Fortress of Solitude here, which I love the name. But now, well, no, he was in the trunk. So I was going to say, now Ted knows where it is, but he doesn't necessarily. He didn't see the way there, except he was outside when they were taking him in, and he could have, you know, if he looked around enough, he might be able to figure out where he is. I don't know. But then, you know, we bring the whole gang, you know, whole Scooby gang to this, and it becomes the new hideout for our FBI team, and it's like, it's not so, you know, yesterday, nobody knew about it except Paul. Today, everybody knows about it on the FBI team and maybe even Ted. And that can't be a good thing. But yeah, we're just, it's just the bringing the whole gang together. The band is back together again.
Well, they couldn't exactly go back to the FBI office.
No, not really. It was a little out of sorts. Yeah.
But Paul wasn't too happy to see them there, was he?
That is true. Yeah, when they hobbled CM in there, and he wasn't exactly thrilled, but you know, what you're gonna do, buddy?
Yeah, whose place is this, boss? Paul, it's mine. I used to come here alone before you turned it into a bed and breakfast.
That's a classic. That's another one. I like whoever's writing his lines. So what is this about? You talked about daddy issues, and I'm looking at, I was looking at the whole Shay versus Ted thing. So it looks like there's that connection really reared its ugly head again.
Shay really came out of absolutely nowhere. And, you know, certainly the talk that she had with Ty last week was not helpful. 2 weeks ago, that wasn't helpful at all. But, you know, because Ty's like, what did you do? And I get, you know, we're all surmising that she shot him, that she shot her father. And I think that's a pretty good guess. But now, whether she's suffering from PTSD, whether she can't believe she shot her own father, she realizes her career is probably over. And that's why I think that she did it. And so then I think that Ted pushed her just a little too far. And she's thinking, okay, I'm going to get something out of you. And oftentimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, yeah.
So she puts her service gun behind her. And then she pulls out Daddy Dearest gun and starts the whole Russian roulette. Hey, this is what my dad used to do, which means clearly she was a witness to it as a kid, which is probably one of the reasons why she wanted to get away from him. But oh, boy. She just puts in the bullets,
and starts clicking.
Oh, my gosh. And he's hanging on to the bathroom pipes, handcuffed there, screaming, crying like a baby, which I'm sure most of us would be doing at that point.
Yes, I would. All right.
Oh, wow. And she wasn't going to stop. And then when they finally broke the door open, she swings around. I mean, she looked crazy. And she just had that complete look in her eyes, and they're like, whoa, 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 stop. I'm surprised that she just didn't fire the gun at them.
I think your idea of this being a kind of a PTSD response to having killed her own father and the kidnapping of her son and all of this. And the question is, too, how much time has elapsed so far? And so to go from zero to that in however much time has got to have had taken a toll on her mental health. And I can understand what happened there, not condone it, but wow. Yeah, it was a slap in the face to the viewer to say, yo, this is really tearing this woman apart. And here's an example of why. I mean, the whole I've got nothing to lose speech she gives him was creepy and scary. And it was, what is she really going to do this? And the answer was yes.
Well, and I think the fact that Ty was blaming her, that her son was scared to death, that he was actually holding a gun on his grandfather, something that she didn't expect to see. I'm sure. And this has been going on with them for what, several weeks, I guess, is what we can surmise. She almost got blown up. She was tied up on the floor, thought she'd never see her kid again. Her husband is blaming her, which was stupid because he's the one who let Nacio in and became all buddy-buddy with him within a few days, which was kind of beyond credulity, but yeah, I think she just flipped and she thinks everything is over.
She does take it seriously.
Not too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
But then she gets a name out of him.
It worked. But yeah, that's not exactly the way you want to do it. But at least from her perspective, hey, I got something that nobody else got so far, you know. So, and that was the key to getting to finding where the plane was taking off. Oh man! And then to have—I mean, with all the setup for that, all the security for this handoff, all of that—and having next had already put all the players in motion before it got shut down. And so that was I thought that was, if I may say so, brilliant. You know, you've got the FBI, you've got the NSA, and especially the NSA to get in. Now, for a while there, I was wondering if they were really FBI agents, because wouldn't these FBI agents be aware of what's going on? And then you got to say, yeah, how long have they had have they been without an office and have been able to find out everything the FBI is doing? So, okay, that made sense. The NSA shows up and they grab it and take it to their server farm, which is like, we kind of realize that was the winner all along. That was the whole point of the exercise. But it seems like a long way around. But then how else would it have done that? I don't know. I'm not a super intelligent AI. What do I know?
Well, and then they were also able to quote unquote blame the Chinese government. I'm sure that stirred the pot a little bit as well.
Absolutely. It's always good to have somebody to blame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's get back to our reporter, because I think after this they start going to his place to try to figure out what's going on, and he is now going all, you know, Paul LeBlanc on his electronics, unplugging the TV at poor little girl.
I know, she just, all she wanted to do was watch some TV until your mom gets home.
But
it's certainly, someone would have noticed his behavior, one would think, besides his family, because he'd been working on it for weeks. But unfortunately, Nex knew he was working on it, because I guess he didn't turn off all the right electronics.
Man alive. And this was like the first real shocker. Shocked me. Whoa, wait a minute. There are shocking, plot developments, but this was like a, moment. Wow. When the shot comes right through the front door.
I did not expect him to get shot. That was a surprise to me too.
I was kind of hoping he would be more of a long-term character. I have a feeling he may not, given his current situation.
No, I think he died, didn't he?
I'm trying to. Gina was holding her hands over his wound. The last time I think we saw him, we didn't find the Ben kills that kills the guy who took the shot. Afterwards, am I forgetting a scene? It could very well be.
Well, I was trying to remember some of the conversation when they were in the car and Ben says, well, I'm kind of taking this evidence from the crime scene. And for some reason, I was thinking that they said that he had died, but I honestly could be wrong about that. But you know what? If the reporter hasn't died, he's going to the hospital. So guess what? He's not going to have anything super secret or anybody guarding him either.
Yeah, really. Take everything off that work for this guy here. Yeah, that's true.
He's doomed.
So this ex-con, I don't think we got any more information about who he was. Probably just, an ex-lackey.
Yeah, they said he'd been paid, $100,000?
Yes.
Been deposited in his account or something like that to take the shot. But yeah, just another nameless, faceless character who has been knocked off on the show.
A next henchman.
Yes.
A next henchman. No, that's not going to work. I'm going to try to mix those together. Give us a portmanteau. Yes, thank you. But that's not going to work. Oh, wow. But, and the other thing too, is that, we've got Next finally in, the FBI, NSA, server farm area. That's the hardware and the layout of the hardware that it needs to actually be able to expand itself. Now, the question here is it going to happen? This is, you've shown the gun. Now you have to use it. You've shown the server farm. Now you have to spread into it. And I think that's where we're going from here. The question will be, is it going to successfully do that? Or is it going to, start doing that and something kills it or, something like that. But this server farm is clearly going to be a big player coming up soon.
Well, and I think they did a pretty good job of explaining that to us, saying, okay, this is too big. They're going to have to take it and plug it into their main server, blah, blah, blah. Kind of run diagnostics on it. But one thing that I thought was kind of funny when I looked out over this farm of servers that they were showing us in the background, my first thought was of Raiders of the Lost Ark, except this wouldn't get lost.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then, yeah, the data is somewhere in here. We have no idea where it is.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, here's the thing, too. For people who don't understand this particular terminology, when they talk about air-gapped, they're talking about keeping it off any network. Or, you know, the computer itself that they want to be air-gapped is not connected to the internet. Or the... Or it is connected to other computers that themselves are not connected to the internet. So, you know, it or the group of the network that it's on, none of that is actually connected to the internet. That's what air gapped means. I guess it's like kind of like, oh, insulation from electricity can't really travel well through air, lightning notwithstanding, but it doesn't really want to. And so... So when you've got, you know, electricity and an air gap in whatever the circuit is, then you can't jump across that. So that's the point of doing what they're doing. That just the question now is who, like the last time it was air gapped and what happened? The one fellow who it gave all the wonderful gambling tips to bribed him into putting a Wi-Fi in there. And so all of a sudden now it does have access to the outside world. So he broke the air gap there. So anyway.
Well, I would almost think too that it could jump into their phones. Now I know in highly secure areas, you're not supposed to have cell phones back there as part of the highest clearance, but you think it's going to jump into something. It's going to find a way to get out.
And I'm going to mention in a next in the news here, one way it might be able to do that. Interestingly, I don't know if they had thought of this. I'm sure not, because like you've mentioned before, this has been, you know, this was something that was in the works for, you know, at least a year before it aired. And so what did? Okay, hang on. Let me make a pause here, because there we go. I was distracted by my other laptop making funny noises. So I was trying to get it to quiet down. And this will be enough to let me know that. Okay, so what was I saying?
This has all been in place for more than.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So they had, you know, scripted this, shot this before the pandemic, and all of it. Well, before, because the last day of shooting, one guy was found to have the virus. So fortunately, that was at the last end. Not fortunately for him, but fortunately for the TV show, it was all in the can as far as that went. So.
Yeah, that's been part of the scary part about all this. It's all this woo.
Yes, it's also, yeah. So they're possibly, I don't know what they're going to do to jump it, but we'll talk about another interesting interesting way that might have happened. But anyway, I think we've covered all the basics, but, let me see here. Because that was kind of a last 5 minutes, and I want to wait till we get there to talk about that.
I'm going to throw one in here.
Yes.
I just gave another one. We were talking about giving you the creeps about knowing stuff in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they locked Ted up, they locked him up in the bathroom or the whatever Paul was using as a bathroom. And in one shot, as the camera came around, you could see over to the side, rolls and rolls of toilet paper. How did they know that they were going to need to stash toilet paper?
It's
scary. I'm telling you, this is creepy. Really creepy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And the China virus could have been, but not going to be. Uh-huh. Very, very creepy.
And you had a question about something from file number 2. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So the flash forward that we saw at the very beginning of file two, and that's where Shay is handcuffed and she's being questioned and she said, I had to do it. And you know, it was attacking us and our family. It was trying to kill us. And so I've been waiting for this to come into play. And I thought maybe after she killed her father, they were going to grab her. And yet we still haven't seen that. So now I'm thinking maybe that's going to come in episode 10. And so what is it that Shay's being questioned about? Is it her father's murder? Is it for going rogue? Is it for something that she and Paul are going to do in file 8 or file 9? Like, you know, maybe potentially destroying the NSA file server room. But if they do that, they'll probably kill a lot of people, which wouldn't be too cool. She can't kill her own fellow agents. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it could be any of those things, actually. They all would qualify. So it was vague enough that I think it could be any of those. Now, could she be taken into custody for any of them? Yes, especially killing her father. But there is nobody witnessed it except her. So I don't think it'll be that. I think it would be something we haven't seen yet, because, like I said, as far as the government knows, I don't think they know anything that she's done that would be enough to incarcerate her just yet. And I'm not missing something.
Well,
but,
unless they left the scene of the crime where her boss was, you know, blown into little pieces.
That's true. It's possible.
And if you think of all the things that Next has planted against them so far, like, you know, putting Ty and Nathan on an Amber Alert, and going after, you know, Gina and Ben, I can't remember his name now. The initial guy.
SEM.
I want to call him MC, like Hammer. I keep getting it backwards. So, yeah, it's possible that there could be anything out there. Maybe something that she hasn't done.
Yeah, that's true. But we shall see. We shall see. But I really do hope they don't forget that. How could they forget? It's only 10 episodes. Come on. All right. I think we've hit a lot of the favorite scenes or moments or lines that we had listed here. Let me see. You talked about the bed and breakfast. This was one of my favorite lines came from Abby. She doesn't usually have favorite lines for me, but man, she did this time. When talking to Ted, she had trusted him previously, before he was started having her, you know, erase the hard drive. And she says, there's one thing he never did, talking about Paul. He never used me. And is like, upside the head there, man alive. That conversation too, I really liked. That was one of my favorite scenes in this one. Yeah.
Did you wonder even for a second though, when she walked in the room, if perhaps she still thought that that her own dad was a little on the cross side, and that maybe she was going to release Ted?
It kind of spilled the beans there. She's always said, no matter what Paul has shown her, she still had, you know, kind of a, maybe this is still all in his head. But I was wondering, I think the writers took this moment to say, no, she's all in now. Yeah.
It seemed like it. But that thought crossed my mind as she walked in and began talking to him. But good for Abby.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple of nice lines too.
Get used to being on the wrong side of right. I had to think about that one for a while.
that's subtle.
It is.
It's nuanced.
Very much. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The wrong side of right. And then the light bulb. line.
I know. What? I'm supposed to be afraid of my light bulb? And then there it went.
Man. Yes, you are. If that doesn't convince you, nothing will. Okay, let's talk about, let me see, we've hit some of our worst scenes and moments. Deb not calling the police. Why didn't Next kill the journalist in the elevator?
it's killed so many other people. So yeah. Why not? I mean, if it's plunging them to their death, unless it didn't want to kill the representative for some reason.
Yeah, she only came out with an arm in a sling.
Yeah, I mean, she did have that. He didn't seem to have too many other injuries, but he was definitely paranoid after that. I mean, clearly witnessed the conversation between him and his daughter. So yeah. I don't know. That seemed odd to me. But like, as you said, if he had died, where would our plot go?
There's no plot left.
Nowhere. It's gone.
You know what saved the elevator? There's a little thing they installed called the plot device. You know. Thank you. All righty. Yeah, that's what I
did. Little red button.
There we are. All righty. Well, you get some more here. Very interesting ones.
Yeah, Tep is taking sleeping pills. Now, I know Paul said he only takes these when he gets on long flights and he can't sleep. And I thought, well, why on earth would he get a whole bottle of the things and just have them? And I mean, aren't there over-the-counter things that you can take just to knock you out, like two Benadryl? Mm-hmm. So not that I'm advocating that's what people should be doing.
And
so that was a little weird.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But you have something about Representative Beatty, and I thought that was good because I looked for it, and sure enough.
Oh yeah, because this has happened to me when I've gone up to pick up documents for somewhere. Sometimes they ask you to show. Most of the time, they ask you to show identification. And here, so the team goes in. They say they need to see her. Her life is in danger. They're from FBI cybercrime, and the woman lets them in. The assistant lets them in with zero identification. They show nothing. I thought, really? Give me a break. The woman fell through an elevator. Are you really going to let people in to see her with no identification?
Yeah, really. Yeah, it looks like there's somebody out to get her. And I was, no little flashing of a little flash of the badge is all they needed to do to deal with that. But from cybercrime. Well, of course, your place just blew up, didn't it? So you probably don't have your ID on you right now. sure, come on in.
Makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's using regular cell phones, huh?
Well, it seemed like it. And I know that Ben had that burner phone, or he said he gave his.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that, that new burner phone number out. But otherwise, how is everybody finding everyone else? And I did see a couple of other regular cell phones, and I thought this isn't right, because all those little burner phones, they're all flip phones.
Yeah. And how would they, there's no GPS on them, or it's not really easy to use. I remember using a GPS on an old flip phone, and it was, I needed it. It was really cool. I had to pay, a little charge to use it. But it's not really, the tiny screen. Come on.
But they, a couple times they pulled out the phones and you could tell that it was, an Android or a Samsung or an iPhone. It was something, it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely not a flip phone. I thought, guys, come on. That's an easy one to fix. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting is they made a real point of showing that cargo plane, which was a McDonnell Douglas DC-915F. So it's
now, how do you know that?
Because I used to work in the aerospace industry for way too long. And not only that, but we used to have, I'm aware of a couple of deals on that poor little plane that just would, we just wish that they would, that the commercial airliner that was flying them would just stop flying them because they're so hard to repair. But anyway, so that plane commercially stopped flying in the U.S. in 2014, and that was a happy day for many of us. I think that there still are a couple of old rogue units in other countries throughout the world. And maybe there's a freighter out there somewhere. I tried to look for the tail number so I could look it up, but we never got a good shot at the tail number. But yeah, no. And I thought, really, would I really want my McDonnell Douglas aircraft shown off as being used by the Chinese to transport a server that could unleash a pandemic virus? Probably not, huh?
That was a good catch. I was really impressed when you made that note in our show notes here. Very good. Go ahead about Ben, because it's not the big reveal yet, but yeah, do the Ben thing.
No, but that was sort of sad because most of these folks, they don't, only a few of them, they have last names. A lot of them don't. You look in IMDb and there are no last names. So here we discover that, you know, Ben has a daddy dearest. And when I looked up to find out who the actor was, I saw, oh, look, Terrence has a last name. His name is Terrence Wilson. And he's, by the way, he's played by Peter Francis James. I thought, well, that's Ben's last name. I wonder if they've gone ahead and they've updated IMDb for that. And no, it just says Ben. Lonely Ben.
Just Ben. And we've even heard CM's, what CM stands for, and he's still just CM.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's...
Or Ben. He's just, as long as he's not surrounded by rats, I think it'll be okay.
Well, let's get into the last 5 minutes here. Next, wanted to get, yeah, sends the NSA in to keep the Chinese from taking it. Turns out it never wanted to go to China. It wanted to be in the NSA, and sure enough, they plug it in right in the spot where it really wants to be. And, okay, so that's, but man alive, when Ben makes that phone call from the car, and we start seeing, you know, kind of slowly pulling away from whoever it is in the other end of the line, and we see it's some, I don't know, admiral, or I think it's Navy, that's my guess. And then we hear what they're talking about. Barb, was that like, what did that do to you?
Oh, Doug, I thought, no, Ben's a mole. He's a rat. Oh,
he's a mole rat.
He's a mole rat. Well, he's a rat.
Yes, indeed. Oh, man. That, okay. That I did not see coming. Yeah. Oh, man alive. And American government now wants to grab this thing. We've been trying to do AI, so why not have this right here? Thank you very much.
Yeah, see, it's not going to be the China virus. It's going to be the U.S. virus.
Oh, man alive.
Not good. Really not good. So, you know, and Ben's the one who turned, well, he didn't really turn against CM. He said he had to do it. But so that's telling me that Ben's judgment may be a little bit lacking here. And standing in front of that car this episode with his gun out, it's like, dude, really? Seriously, the guy's going to run you over with the car? I mean, he got lucky, but I'm thinking Ben, judgment.
Oh, man alive. Well, that's going to change things here. We've got Fred from the Netherlands at one point had talked about there being so many different storylines going on. It was kind of hard to keep track of them. Well, I will say that we have consolidated some of those because now everybody's in the Fortress of Solitude. But this one branches off another storyline somewhere else up in the American government. That is going to be incredible. That was very good. That was good. I mean, that it was completely out of nowhere. And they've kind of left Ben's, his background and all that stuff completely anonymous, you know, that we haven't been told anything about it until now. And then all of a sudden, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And so here's the thing, you know, his father was saying, this is going to be this generation's what, Manhattan Project, which is like, okay, that's a nice thought. But, you know, the Manhattan Project was the development of nuclear weapons in World War II. And so what does he think they're going to do with next? And the question is, how much do they really know about it? And I'm going to guess they really don't know very much. But I'm wondering, did Next leak them information so that they would want to get Next? Because I would have thought that Ted would have kept a lot of things under wrap with the board until they were ready to launch something new, because otherwise, you know, that kind of thing leaks out and you're going to have stock issues and SEC issues. So I'm beginning to think that maybe the machine itself leaks something to the government, so it would be taken. I don't know.
That's a very interesting, interesting idea. I like that idea. Yeah. Again, Next being, you know, 18 steps ahead. and had done all of the, well, it could have done the leaking of the information to the NSA or the US government, the Navy or whoever, a while ago, but it had all these wheels in motion, and in order to be, so that when it was turned off, it would all just funnel it right over to the NSA server farm. Thank you very much.
But you know, here's the other thing though, Doug, wasn't Ben with them, and he knows that what can happen is this virus can be unleashed and kill people. Didn't he also see the picture of the man foaming at the mouth when they were all there in the bat cave?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he knows that, then why on earth wouldn't he tell his dad about this and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, get a little backbone and say, look, this thing can do really evil things and communicate that information. Or is it that his dad, that they want that kind of capability? They want the capability to knock somebody off through some kind of poison, which is actually fairly scary. So I don't know. I don't know how much Ben has really said.
I'm wondering if it's akin to Gandalf getting the One Ring. He didn't want it because what he would use for good would be turned to evil. But that may be what the Navy wants and the NSA wants. Is they want something that's evil, then they will use it for good. Oh, but it will be, you know, my precious, and it will entice you into doing evil, you know. And until you're, you know, half naked and bald. But anyway. Yeah, that's, you know, going column all the time. Okay. All right. We've, okay. Enough of that. We're done with that because it's too weird to think about. I am going to move on. That's what I'm going to do. And let's go into some news here from Voice Assistants in the News. And this is not really, this first one, we're going to do a few here. This first one is not so much voice assistance. It's sort of, it has something to do with this episode that we saw. We talked about air gapping. So the headline here is academics turn RAM into, RAM is memory, random access memory, into Wi-Fi cards to steal data from air gapped systems. And these guys wrote this thing, you know, a year ago or so. So anyway, the idea here is that these techniques are what security researchers call covert data exfiltration channels. They're not techniques to break into computers, but techniques that can be used to steal data in ways defenders aren't expecting. Such data exfiltration channels are not a danger for normal users, but they are a constant threat for administrators of air-gapped networks. And they're usually air-gapped because they want to make sure there's something in there that doesn't get out, like a computer virus. Air-gapped systems are computers isolated on local networks with no external internet access. Air-gapped systems are often used on government, military, or corporate networks to store sensitive data like classified files or intellectual property or, you know, computer viruses. So the deal with this, I'm not going to try to get too technical, but here's basically the idea. First of all, this particular thing has a very slow data transfer rate. It's like 100 bytes, you know, not megabytes, not kilobytes, which is 1,000, but individual bytes, characters. You also have to have a compromised receiver within just a few meters of the computer. So you've got one computer that's compromised that has the program to run to send information, and you have to have something on the outside to receive the information. So basically, electricity that's traveling through the computer memory, okay, it's traveling all through the computer there, it generates electromagnetic waves. And malicious code on the computer could read and write the memory at a certain frequency, the same frequency as Wi-Fi, so it would generate a signal very similar to Wi-Fi, and so it looks like Wi-Fi to some particular receiver, which then, you know, records the information. It could be a laptop, could be a phone, it could be a smartwatch, for crying out loud. So that's the idea there, and it's something that is, I think it's still theoretical. I think they were trying to Oh, no, it looks like the based on the headline, they have turned it into a kind of like a Wi-Fi card. Weird. So, yeah, this is kind of, but like I said, there's a lot of things that have to come together, but if you're trying to get information off of a very sensitive machine covertly, you're going to be willing to do, you know, what it takes to get it off. So, something very interesting. I just thought, I saw this and it just related so well to this week's episode.
That actually sounds kind of scary.
Indeed. Alrighty, you have something from, and I love the website name, thenextweb.com. That's not freaky.
And this is funny. And it's not exact, it doesn't have to do with AI voice assistants. But this is it, ripped from the headlines. Facebook is reportedly developing AI to summarize news. What could go wrong? Yeah, so Facebook is apparently trying to get into the news space. It has been for a number of years. Last year, they launched a dedicated section on their site called Facebook News for Users in the U.S., and they want to get into other countries now. And, you know, at first, this might feel like a really good idea, like, you know, getting your news in 10 minutes or less.
I see what you did there.
I thought you might. I thought you might consider that. But there are already some other tools like that on Reddit. And the joke is that, you know, given Facebook's sketchy history with news and publishers, there are many ways that this could go wrong.
Oh, wow.
BuzzFeed says that Facebook is actually testing it, and the tool is called TL:DR. Too long, didn't read. To summarize the news pieces so that you don't even have to click through to read those articles.
And no ads.
Yeah, you know there are going to be ads somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah.
Beginning or at the end. But they said, hey, listen, given their, again, sketchy history with news and publishers, there are many ways this could go wrong. The rest of the article is actually pretty funny. And at first I thought, hey, this is a joke piece, and then I realized it wasn't. So, more power to them.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that'll be an interesting thing to watch. I did not know that they already had a U.S. version.
Yes, it's one of those little annoying features on the side tab. I've been avoiding Facebook for a couple months, so it's only when they did that pesky upgrade that so many people didn't like, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The new layout. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, they talked about gaining control of Next, supposedly, as and the AI involved as the Manhattan Project of our generation. Well, from the Washington Post, in a first, the Air Force used AI on a military jet. Now, before you go freaking out here, there was still a pilot who was still flying the thing. So that's not what they're doing yet. But they used an artificial intelligence algorithm to control sensor and navigational systems on a U-2 Dragon Lady spy plane in a training flight a little while ago, just recently. It's what is believed to be the first known use of AI on board a military aircraft. No weapons were involved. And like I said, the plane was steered by a pilot, but senior defense officials touted this test as a watershed moment in the Defense Department's attempt to incorporate AI into military aircraft. Oh, boy.
So I'm going to tell you right now, if they say in the next episode that the NSA wants to use this on military aircraft, I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to unplug it. I'm going to go get that poker, and I'm going to smash it around just the way that Paul was doing.
That would be uncanny, completely disencanned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man alive. Okay, so we'll be watching for that next week. But so far, that's what we've got in the news. I mean, that's it for now. That's plenty. We just have a couple of bits of feedback here, And here it comes.
Let's hear some listener feedback. It's always good to get more voice samples for my database.
More voice samples for her database, but of course. Okay, let's start. What do we got here? We've got Fred from the Netherlands.
Hello, Doug and Karen. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for next season 1, episode 7. Good episode, but there are a few things I don't understand. What I do understand that Agent Salazar just lost it and played Russian roulette with Ted, but it worked. One of the things I didn't understand is that in Paul's hideout, CM is helping, but he is looking for all kinds of things on a computer. Do they have internet there? Is that not dangerous for them? I don't think it's a standalone computer without connection to the internet. So what the heck? I don't really understand it. That is sensible, possible, whatever. Of course, I didn't see it coming, and probably nobody, that the FBI would be there and that Ben is involved in that, and that he has a connection to his father, who is a high-up military person. I really am not sure whether I find this plot strong or actually weak. What do you think? We didn't see anything about Ty and Salazar's son. Shorter feedback than normal, but I'm just waiting for the next episode. Greetings, all the best, Fred from the Netherlands.
Hi, Fred.
Good to hear from you again. Hey, you know, that is true. How are they finding out, like, the Bitcoin money laundering scheme and all that other stuff, getting maps from, you know, different areas? I'm sorry, but that's a really good point, Fred, that this, without wanting to have networked computers and then seeing this, unless you've got a better explanation, Barb, I'm going to say, oops.
Well, didn't the NSA and the FBI go, like, charging through a fence or something and bust it open to get to the plane? I would say that the plot hole was about that big.
About that big? Okay, all right.
Yeah, about that big, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. good catch, Fred. I didn't catch that myself when I was watching it. Wow.
Yeah, I only thought about the phones. I didn't even think about the computer, but yeah, duh.
I'm speechless, and that must mean it's time for X-Force 11.
Hello, Next fans. It's Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback about file number 7. Well, things definitely ramped up in this episode. We thought that Next wanted to get to China, and we were afraid of that, and turns out Next wants to get the NSA server farm so that they can take over more stuff with unhindered access. We've got moles inside the team. There's just so much going on, and next week is 2 days worth of episodes, and it's just going to be wild to see where we go from here. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 is out.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, from Barb. I've got her captive this week. Yeah,
yeah. The China connection that didn't happen. And I think surprised all of us. I think that we all expected it to be out there, and the virus was going to unleash, and that's what our team was going to have to stop. And surprise, surprise.
You know what else was not touched on this week was the whole biovirus. You know, they did the tests in Somalia, but we didn't really hear anything more about that this week. They're going to have to catch us up here pretty quick here.
Yeah, no, they only had the picture of what we had seen before with the guy foaming at the mouth.
That's true.
That
yes.
was it. And we didn't really talk about Sabrina getting conned by the Chinese guy. Not that that mattered in the end anyway.
Yeah. It was all just a play acting. Well, not play acting, but it was Next setting up the play to be acted out, and then all that fun stuff, yeah. You know, there was somebody else that usually leaves audio, but I don't see... Oh, that was you. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. You got the real deal this week.
Ah, the real deal. All the real deal. Well, if you want to be the real deal and get in on this, our deadline is Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And come over to next.ctpodcast. I can speak first day with the new lips. Sorry. Next.ctpodcasting.com/feedback. Lists all the ways to get in touch. Phone, email, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook groups, that's the big thing. We there's a lot of folks on there, a lot of activity on there. So search Facebook for What's Next Podcast, and you will find it. Trust me.
But you're going to change the feedback deadline for the next two before we get into spoilers, so that people who don't want to get spoiled will know when they really need
that's
feedback.
That's true. That's true. Just leave your feedback whenever you can. No, we're going to be doing the next podcast episode on, this is an executive decision, and it's subject to change without notice, but I'll try to notice you. Hey, I notice you. That we're going to do it on the 30th of December, and that'll give you a little more time. That'll be the Wednesday after, the Wednesday a week after the show's are aired, so you'll have a little more time there, and then we'll do another one a week after that to wrap it up. But here's the deal, Barb. What's going on with all these? How are we winding this up? Basically.
Okay, so that's the spoiler section, right? For anyone who doesn't want to be spoiled and hear anything, get off now.
That's right. We loved having you. Thank you.
Yeah. See ya. And hopefully Kieran will be back. All right. But anyway, for those who do want to go ahead and hear, this is going to be split up into two pieces. File 8 is going to be a standalone episode, and then Doug will cover 9 and 10, which will be the day after that. But this time, next is actually going to be on Monday next week at 8 p.m. So be careful. Don't miss it. If you're accustomed to Tuesday, you're going to have to be ready for Monday. And Next manipulates a GPS system and causes an elderly couple to crash, while it also generates power outages all over the country. LeBlanc decides to plant a virus on the Next server, but must break into Zava in order to do it. Meanwhile, Shay and Ty have opposing ideas on how they should protect their family, and Ben faces a conflict with his father. What a surprise, right?
There's the daddy issue.
Yeah, daddy. Mm-hmm. I wonder why they have to break into Zava. Well, it's probably all locked down now because of everything that's happened. Maybe the NSA and the FBI are both there.
Mm. All hanging in there. Maybe they have a hook into the, who knows? Yeah, there's a way to get to the server farm from there, but we'll see.
And I wonder what's going to be the significance of this elderly couple crashing, which is very sad, right before the holidays, by the way. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, yeah. Where were they going, huh? Were they breaking quarantine? I don't know. That's what I want to know. Alrighty. Now, here's the thing. So that's Monday, December 21st at 8 Eastern. On Tuesday, the next day at 8 p.m. Eastern, for 2 hours, we'll have File 9 and 10, the 2-hour finale. So in 2 days, 3 episodes. Yowza. That's why I said we're going to wait a little while to give you time to do feedback for 8. And then we'll do, and you can give 9 and 10 as well, because we'll just do that a week later. We'll do both 9 and 10 sometime, in the following week.
Let's split up the feedback into 2 submissions so that they're not all tangled.
Yeah, that's true. If you do send us some feedback, do a file 8 and then a file 9 and 10. That would be great. Fred did that one time with 5 and 6. What a guy. Okay, this is file 9 and 10. Next targets Congresswoman Beatty again when Agent Shay Salazar seeks to help her stop it. Shay discovers a leak within her team. As Gina encounters trouble while trying to code the virus into an NSA server. Meanwhile, Next taunts LeBlanc with a new tactic relating to his illness, and Shay and LeBlanc devise one last dangerous ploy to destroy Next and save their lives, their families, and the world. In an all-new special 2-hour File 9, File 10 series finale. Oh, wow. That just gives me shivers.
Series finale. That's so sad.
We're actually getting somewhere.
I hope they wrap it up in an outstanding way and don't leave us dangling with anything else. Hopefully. Oh,
please. Well, actually, I kind of hope they do a little bit, because that will, and if we can give them the ratings, maybe they'll renew it for another season. I don't know. We'll see. We'll hope.
We hope. There's always hope.
Oh, there's always hope, folks. So thank you for listening, because there's always hope. I'm Doug Payton, and you can find me on Twitter. You can. I'm at Doug Payton. DougPayton.
And I'm Barb Rank, and I can be found on Twitter at Tangier14.
All righty. Nice to have you this week, Barb. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. And we all hope that Kieran gets better and that she's back for the amazing finale.
That's right. We'll all see you next time, folks.
We'll find out.
What's next?